Good morning, everybody. It is November 4th, 2021. This is the ADK Homeroom. I am your host, Frank, and welcome to your home away from homeroom. In homerooms across the United States, we are approaching the end of the first quarter. Teachers are getting those grades ready, or let's be honest, more likely scrambling to give one more tests so they actually have something to base their grades on. Not sure if you're aware, but it's standard practice in high schools in America these days that no matter what a student's grade is in the first quarter, it cannot be less than 50% recorded on the grade card. That's right, even if a student does zero work, nothing, fails every single test with a zero, fails every single homework assignment with a zero, all labs not done, zeros, doesn't participate in class, does nothing, says not a word, turns in on a piece of work, most high schools across the United States will give that student a 50% instead of a 0% for the first quarter. Why? Because the reasoning goes that it is unfair to the student. It is putting the student in such a hole if they get a 0% or anything less than a 50% in the first quarter, then they're in such a hole that they can't recover from the rest for the rest of the year, and they'll just give up and they won't try anymore. Now, is that absurd? Yes, it is absurd. Does it make a mockery of the process? Yes, it does. Does it discourage all the other students from actually doing their work? Sure, it does. It absolutely does. You can talk about rational actors and what the best choice of path is once the students know that too. And that's why the students don't, or the schools don't advertise this policy. But it is true. Go ask a teacher, go ask a principal, and by far most high schools in America have that policy these days. It's absurd. And we've got a lot of absurd stuff today. It's like a comedy day here. It is just silly stuff coming out left and right from the news, from current events. Let's dig into it. And the U.S. Navy, starting us off with our list of crazy stuff today, they're announcing that the USS Connecticut sub ran into what it ran into on October 2nd. If you remember that day, it came out as China was flying all of its sorties over into Taiwanese airspace and causing all kinds of international headlines, ratcheting up the tension. At the same time, October 2nd, a U.S. sub had an underwater collision with an unknown object. Well, now the U.S. Navy has announced what that object was. What was it? It was an underwater mountain. Yeah, a seamount. That is a fancy word. You read the Navy press release, seamount, fancy word for underwater mountain. Okay, I guess the submarine didn't see the mountain. It was one of those new stealth mountains. I mean, come on. You don't see a mountain out there? You know what else the Navy says they can't identify lately? UFOs. Right? Can't identify these zippy little things popping up on their radar. UFOs can't be identified by the Navy. Maybe they should call Colorado and ask them if the Rockies are missing. You know, have you missed a mountain chain? Yes, because we're seeing all these things appear on a radar. We don't know what they are. Maybe they're mountains. This is ridiculous. You know, these are the guys that are supposed to be able to spot silent running Chinese and Russian super stealth subs. Yeah, right. Right now, after hearing this news, you know what the generals, the admirals in Beijing are doing? They're redesigning their subs to make them look like mountains. Oh, yeah. Let's just have our sub look like a mountain. They'll never see it coming, right? You know, in Moscow right now, the next military parade down in Moscow, what are you going to see? You're going to see Putin up there in the grandstand, and the parade's going to have the soldiers all goose-stepping. And then you get to the part of the parade where it's the tech and the artillery are supposed to be, and it's just going to be a bunch of mountains drifting by. It's going to look like mountains going by the grandstand, because every little piece of hardware they're going to get, it's going to look like a mountain. Clearly, that the U.S. can't detect mountains. Oh, are you kidding me? Can't find mountains. Wow. Yeah, right now, down at the southern border, a bunch of Mexicans dressing up as human mountains, right? Oh, you get on the bottom, we'll be a human mountain. They'll never see us coming across the border. It's just silly, right? Guys at NORAD right now looking down at Cuba, commanders, there's supposed to be a new mountain range right outside of Havana. It wasn't there yesterday. Okay, no, must be fine. Let's get back to building Skynet. Come on, folks. This is the Navy. Wow. Yeah, well, hey, you know, maybe that's why the Biden administration never saw the mountain of inflation coming up. Oh, yeah, I could do this all day, right? It's just too easy. When your Navy can't detect mountains and you run into mountains, that is a problem. All right, let's move on, though. Oh, Virginia. Good old Virginia. Yes, Virginia, there really is a Glenn Youngkin. We had quite the election results from Virginia, didn't we? First of all, though, I have to say the hashtag white women trended on Twitter yesterday, right? Hashtag white women, all one word, white women. And most of the people jumping in there on that hashtag are criticizing white women. And these same people would be aghast, just aghast, shocked, if you suggested that they were being racist. But listen, as a teacher of 25 years, I can assure you there was a lesson in school, people in this hashtag, people in this white women hashtag, there was a lesson in school that you missed. Remember that lesson in school that said, if you are heaping criticism on a bunch of people whom you identify, whom you label by their skin color, you are being racist. That is racism. Heaping criticism, calling out people and identifying them by their skin color, lumping them together, white women, sexist too. It's sexist too. And these same people think that they are so perfect. They are so innocent, and they are being blatantly sexist and racist out here on Twitter. Not a hard lesson, right? That's like a second grade lesson. Anyway, Terry McAuliffe. Oh my goodness. This guy, what a terrible candidate. This is the candidate that you have at home, right? You know the meme, right? The meme that's based on the idea that the mom is out shopping with the kids, and the kids see this exciting new toy, and they say, oh, I really want this toy. Can we get this toy, Mom? Can we get this toy? And Mom says, shut up. We have a toy exactly like that back at home, right? Well, this is the same thing going on here with Terry McAuliffe, right? The Democrats in Virginia, they're out shopping, these voters, these Democratic voters. They're looking in D.C., they're looking in New York, and they're like, hey, man, can't we get an exciting candidate like AOC? Can't we have an awesome new candidate like Bernie? And Mom's saying, shut up, we have an exciting candidate like that at home already. And then you drive back home to Virginia, and it turns out the candidate at home is Terry McAuliffe. Oh, what a disappointment. He's already an old, broken toy, right? He was already governor once before. And, you know, anybody who's been in office before at this particular moment in American history, well, they have a lot to answer for, don't they? Right. I see so many Gen Z and millennials blaming boomers, which is fine for the state of the country. But the problem with that is the whiners, the Gen Z, the millennials complaining about the boomers ruining the country. These Gen Zs and millennials, they literally vote for the same exact people that the boomers were voting for. Right. The boomers were voting for Joe Biden in the 1970s, and then the Gen Zs and the millennials come out and they're voting for the same candidates. Terry McAuliffe is the same candidate you have at home. He's the old candidate. He's the old broken toy you've been playing with for decades at home. Just ridiculously poor candidate. Everything about him his hair, his sweaters, his whole look is it's Greg Brady stepping out of the cryopreservation unit, right? It's the kid in the 1970s who's number one priority. He looks like the guy who wants to keep his dream journal up to date. And it's not really because he's into the dream journal, right? It's because he has a crush on the girl who keeps a dream journal. And he thinks if he keeps one too, that'll help him get into her pants. You know, Terry McAuliffe, if he's got that creep vibe to some extent going on that the entire Democratic Party really has fallen into and developing. I hope you saw, right, the best Halloween costume out there was the little girl who had the Joe Biden mannequin with its arms draped over her shoulders in some sort of bear hug that she couldn't escape from. And the Biden head is leaning in on her hair and her shirt says, "Stop sniffing me, you twit." It was definitely the best Halloween costume out there. And the bottom line from the Virginia election is Terry was a bad candidate, and he missed the lesson from second grade too, right? He missed the lesson that says it's not okay to steal other people's kids. He told parents that they have no say in their kids' education, right? That's pretty much tantamount to stealing the kids. I mean, it's not stealing the kids, but let's face it, education is kind of a big part of childhood. I have parents in parent conferences all the time lamenting, frankly, the fact that I spend a lot more time as a teacher with their kids than they do as parents. And it's true. And then you have Terry out there telling the parents, no, you have no say in your own child's education. Terry, second grade lesson, man. It's not okay to steal other people's stuff. Here's some homework for you, Terry. Why don't you go on Google, type in there, what is it not okay to steal? Pretty sure kids will come up on that list. It's not okay. Oh, Democrats, you can do better than this. You can do much better than this. Speaking, though, of Democrats and creepiness, did you see the news last week? Olivia Rodrigo, teen pop star Olivia Rodrigo, went on to Kimmel last week and reported on her visit to Biden and the White House last July. I think on Bastille Day of all days, she was there, July 14th. And they wanted her to drum up support for vaccines. And so she did, and she went there, but she got a goodie bag. She got a gift bag, right? Like she'd been to a birthday party. They gave her a gift bag, a swag bag. And she told Kimmel that in the bag that Biden gave her was M&Ms and sunglasses and a shoehorn. That's just bizarre, right? And Kimmel was cracking jokes about Biden clearly being senescent, too old to be in office if he thinks a shoehorn is a great gift. But then here's the thing. It was not a shoehorn. The next day, Olivia posts on her Instagram. She posts a picture of the supposed shoehorn. She's like, oops, it's actually an ice cream scoop. And my silly mom just told me that it was a shoehorn, and I believed her. Well, I don't know why, if this was the shoehorn, why it would have fooled Olivia and or her mom, but it completely looks like an ice cream scooper to me. But that's all beside the point anyway. Here's the point. Olivia Rodrigo, despite the fact that she apparently is still listening to her mom's advice about shoehorns versus ice cream scoopers, and you see how far that's getting her. The point is, though, Olivia Rodrigo is an adult. She's an adult. She's a grown woman. I mean, yes, she got famous for a song about getting a driver's license. And yes, she's been on Disney and High School Musical. She got famous for being on Disney's High School Musical, the series. Love the double subtitle there, Disney. But Olivia's an adult. She's a grown woman. She can vote for you, Joe, or against you. And your presents for her are M&Ms and an ice cream scoop and some sunglasses to play dress up in. You know, this is just a little bit weird. These are the presents that the creepy old man gives the little old girl in an after-school special. Candy and ice cream, little girl. Here you go. Step into my white van. Yes, it has the presidential seal on it, so you can tell it's just a fine white van. Come get your ice cream and candy, little girl. This is not what you want to see out of the presidential gift bag, especially when this idea is already out there of Biden being the creepy old guy. Remember those memes, those Biden Obama memes, where Joe was always saying the ridiculous, totally off the handle stuff, and Obama would have to rein him in. Joe, those seem to have gone down the memory hole, but we need to bring them back, and somebody needs to rein in Joe, the creepy old guy. He's giving out ice cream and M&Ms, ice cream and candy to the young women that come to the White House. And why is this image out there? I mean, it's out there because the video footage of it is out there. Go look up Biden grabbing and stroking Kelly Ayotte's daughter at her Senate inauguration. It's stomach turning, stomach churning. What other absurd happenings have been going on? Oh yeah, how about this one? You got Robert Durst, that loon, that star, I guess you could call him, of the Netflix special The Jinx. Durst was indicted for murder just now, the murder in 1982 of his first wife. And last week, of course, or last month, I guess, he was sentenced to life in prison for the murder in the year 2000 of his buddy, his friend. Now, how did all of this happen? Is the Justice Department out there doing their job, bringing the justice to the baddies? No. This happened because of that Netflix special, The Jinx. After The Jinx came out, they had the tape confession. They ended it dramatically with Durst on a hot mic, basically confessing to killing them all. And then all these convictions happened. Then Netflix is doing the Justice Department's job for them. This is crazy. Honestly, as a teacher, can we please get Netflix to do a special about the Chancellor of Education at New York State? Really rather have Netflix in charge of education. They clearly do a better job at it. They're good at justice. Why can't they do education already? I mean, Netflix has shows, right? Legacies, Originals, Vampire Diaries. It's 2021. You know what? Why not just let the kids watch TV shows about high school instead of actually going to high school? That's the perfect statement for our times. Couldn't be worse than remote schools. Yeah, better production values, less indoctrination. I haven't seen anybody on Netflix trying to convince kids that Afghanistan is a model of a capitalist economy. But I mean, I've seen that in my own social studies department at my own school. Face it. Let's face it, most of the teachers at high school are just showing movies half the time anyway. Oh, maybe not most, but a lot. A lot of the teachers are just showing movies half the time anyway. And it's just crazy. We're living in a world where Netflix is doing the Justice Department's job better than the Justice Department. Netflix, TV producer handling justice. Maybe we should put Netflix in charge, of the other stuff. I bet they could regulate cryptocurrency. Sure, why not? Put them in charge of the border with Mexico. They can show movies projected on the wall down there. Giant drive-in for Netflix all across the southern border. Why not? Elon over at SpaceX needs a few more tax breaks for his rockets. Need a couple new rocket boosters. Talk to Netflix. Oh. Is there no shame on the government's part? I don't think there is any shame. I don't think they feel ashamed. All right, next item, more absurdities. Jess Staley, CEO of Barclays, right? The big investment bank over in Britain. Staley's American, though, and he's stepping down. They're basically forcing him out. Why? Well, because he has ties with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, this is again somebody else doing the US Justice Department's job. Barclays is meting out punishment here. They're tracking down the bad guys. They're making them step down. Is the Justice Department bringing down any CEOs for the whole Epstein affair? No. Haven't seen it, but Barclays is doing the Justice Department's job too. I mean, Who isn't doing U.S. justice better than the U.S. Justice Department at this point? It kind of seems like maybe, just maybe, their purpose is to kind of shield certain people from justice as much as it is to bring justice to everyone blindly. Oh, has there even been anybody stepping down or, heaven forbid, going to jail because of their involvement with Epstein or the mishandling of the Epstein case? Plenty of people should be. But no, you look it up. Not Michael Thomas, not Tobin Noel. Those are the guards who were supposedly on duty that night, supposedly falsified records of checking on Epstein. They walked. They walked. They pled guilty, but didn't do any time. They cut a deal. I think they got some community service or something. Really, Alex Acosta, under Trump, much vilified Trump, much denigrated Trump, Alex Acosta, labor secretary, he lost his job, but it wasn't for Epstein dying in prison, getting obviously killed in prison. It wasn't for that travesty. No, it was just because people finally, after a decade, people caught on to the fact that Acosta cut Epstein a way too sweet of a deal in Florida and basically let him get away with all of his child abuse down in Florida. So a decade later, finally, Acosta had to step down from his cushy labor secretary job. But that was about it, right? That was about it. Let's see. So yes, it's finally snowing here in the Adirondacks at our elevations. Had a bunch of snow out in the yard yesterday. Dog loves it. She's out there frolicking, all frisky, snuffling through the snow, sticking her snout down in the snow, coming up with her nose all covered in white, looking like she's Hunter Biden, all happy. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Hunter. It's just too easy, though. Just too easy. So the thing that's interesting about snow, right? Snow is funny. People have this advanced non-dog brain, and we don't just go out and frolic in the snow. We have this thing that we're like, ooh, the snow, it looks so pretty. But then the same brain is saying, wow, the snow feels terrible. It's so cold and it's wet and it gets everything wet. And we get this weird conflict between what's pleasing to the eye and what's pleasing to the touch. And if you remember, of course, Tarantino talked about this in Pulp Fiction, right? He's talking in that case about fat people and what's pleasing to the eye and what's pleasing to the touch and how different things can present differently to the different human senses. And then you think of Lovecraft, right? At the start of Call of Cthulhu, the most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate all of its contents. And of course, when you get to snow, when you get to the eye, when you get to the touch, the human mind does correlate its contents. And you have this dichotomy, this striking separation between what you see and what you feel. I think I can understand a little bit better in the Pulp Fiction sense with the fat people, right? I mean, you can understand the evolutionary advantage to appreciating the feel of anybody's body, no matter if it's overweight or not. But where's the evolutionary advantage in appreciating the look of snow? I don't see that, right? It seems a little bit more than silly. Oh, there's some pretty white stuff out there that will freeze you to death if you stand in it. Look how beautiful that is. How does that make sense? Oh, snow. It's so gorgeous. You can suffocate in just a foot of it. Oh, it looks so great to me, right? Oh, there's a majestic snow-capped mountain. Let's go hike up to it so the avalanche can kill us. Where is the evolutionary advantage in finding the beauty in something so dangerous? Very interesting. Puts you in mind of Edna St. Vincent Millay's line, right? Pity me that the heart is slow to learn what the swift mind beholds at every turn. And how about the idea that winter is cozy, that the snow is cozy out there? How can snow be cozy? It's ice water. If somebody poured it down your back, you would be screaming. Have you ever taken one of those polar bear baths? Probably not, because you're not a polar bear. But those people, they get naked and they jump in a snowbank for charity in the Polar Bear Challenge. What is wrong with those guys, right? I should be paying those people not to jump in a snowbank, right? Let's subsidize good decisions. Let's not subsidize going nuts. Snow is only cozy if you have a fur coat or a fire burning or radiant in-floor heating, if you've got some comfy shelter against the snow. How does our eye know that, though? How did our eye evolve to see coziness? in something that requires technology. And in the end, you have to decide, right? Which one are you going to go with, the hand or the eye? Oh, these are the questions that Vecna poses to us all. All that said, of course, I love the snow, and I think that it's probably time for me to go out there and make some snow angels. So you all remember to subscribe. Remember to find me on Twitter, ADK Homeroom. Leave some comments. Get in touch. Talk it up. Spread the news about the new podcast here. And tell me, please, feel free to slide into my DMs, like sliding down a snow hill that they plowed up at the end of the driveway. Slide right into my DMs and let me know what you think. I need that feedback. Take care.